Carly Farina, What Will Catholics Choose? For CatholicExchange.com and Ave Maria Radio, I'm Paul Kengor.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
It's Monday morning, October 18th, 2010. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. My name is Teresa Tomio. The name of this particular program is Catholic Connection, and we're produced by Ave Maria Radio. That's out of southeastern Michigan. And you can check us out both online, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. What a blessing it was to spend time in Birmingham, Alabama, with many of my compadres, my soulmates, all my good friends, and the wonderful people behind EWTN Radio and TV, and also the people who are running the Catholic Radio Apostolates around the country. What an amazing group of people who are just so dedicated to promoting the gospel and going out and bearing fruit, which is what our gospel for today in the Mass is telling us, to bear fruit. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. We need more of you to think about getting involved in Catholic radio, maybe volunteering in a membership drive, a fundraiser, or just helping out or donating some equipment, whatever you can do. And thanks to Steve Gdosik and all the great folks at the Catholic Radio Association who worked so hard with EWTN to make this a possibility, and Frank and Tom and Doug and John and all the great folks at EWTN, really a phenomenal group of people. It's a very good experience when you're there because everybody is just in the same place in terms of they're doing things. It's just kind of funny when you talk to people because they're doing things they never thought they would be doing because God brought them to a place, a situation where they knew that they couldn't be silent anymore about evangelizing the truth and the beauty of the Catholic teaching. So my hat's off to all the organizers and to all of those who made it down to Birmingham, Alabama. It was just a great week, and we really appreciate all the support and all the prayers from our listeners. And thanks to Vanessa Denha Garmo for sitting in for me on Friday. And also thanks to Andrew Kruchek, who always does a wonderful job when I'm here and when I'm not here, when I can't be on the air for a variety of reasons. I want to thank him for his support. Also want to say thanks to the wonderful families and organizers of the White Rose Pregnancy Resource Centers in Dallas, Texas. I spoke at their fundraiser on Saturday evening. Thanks to Christina Kane and all the folks who worked very hard to put on a very elegant fundraiser and auction that was held at a lovely country club. And thanks to the Howard family of Dallas, Texas. You know, God is so good, and it's such a blessing when you're part of this Catholic family. You find out when you go into various towns that you have a connection with somebody. Oh, a Catholic connection. That sounds like a name for a program. And I think I've told you the last few times I've been out speaking, it's been just so wonderful for me because I was recently in Dayton. I was speaking at the Church of the Incarnation, and one of my best friends, Lynn, lives in that area, so she hosted me, and I was able to really have a great time with her and meet some more folks in her area. And then when I was out in California in the Sacramento area, I was hosted by Dad and Diane and Felix, who are all pilgrims with us who are in Israel. And then this time in Dallas, I was able to meet up again with the Howard family. Jan and Philip and their three sons all went on the Holy Land trip with us last year. We had Flip, the oldest, and then we had Taylor, then we had Steve, the three sons, and they're just all great guys, and they're an absolute hoot and a half, just a great family, very devout, but a lot of fun, too. And we just kind of hit it off, and myself and Marissa Hornbuckle, of course, who was serving as my producer on the trips, we just became instant friends. And Flip invited me to speak because he's on the board of directors for the White Rose Center. And then, of course, he picked me up at the airport with four of his six beautiful children. I mean, well, all babies are gorgeous, but these were just edible kids. Let me see if I can get all the names right from top to bottom. Adrian, Olivia, Emma, Madeline, Caroline, and Nate. I think I did it. And his wife, Celeste. So they brought me over to their house, and we had Texas barbecue, and I was able to see them. And also Lynn and Jeff were another couple, the Snoyers from Dallas, from that same area. They came over and chatted with them. And then after the dinner, we went out and had a toast and had a glass of wine together and chatted and talked about our phenomenal trip and what it meant to them. And as I was telling my listeners in the local hour this morning, when you're coming together in Christ, and even if you don't know someone that well, like if you haven't met them, haven't spent a lot of time with them, there is this instant bond that occurs. And it's like you've known each other forever, but I guess we have in the spiritual sense. But it's just incredible things happen. And this is why I want to encourage you to get involved in Catholic radio. Because we are in the world that is telling us that everything we believe in is wrong. Everything we believe in is just ridiculous. And we all have to, you know, just have a morally relativistic approach and everything will be fine. What you believe is fine, what I believe is fine. Well, that's just craziness. And it leads to what we have today in the world morally, which is chaos. And yet, when you get involved in something like Catholic Radio, you meet other like-minded folks who have been changed by the gospel and the teaching of the church. And you come together, and there's, as I said, this instantaneous bond, because you're all in that place where you know what your life was like before God, and you know what it's like now. And the other thing I want to encourage you to do is to think and pray about going on a pilgrimage. Doesn't have to be with me or Steve Ray, but think about doing this, because a pilgrimage is another way to connect with people who believe what you do and who can help you grow in your faith walk. That's what happened with me and with the Howards and with Deb Wesley and Diane Jellison and Felix out in California and all the people over the years, all these friends that I made. Some of my very, very best friends locally here in Michigan are from a pilgrimage we had 5 years ago with Father John Ricardo. It's not just about going to these places and seeing them. And that's one thing. Obviously, it's great to walk in the footsteps of the saints and in the church fathers and, of course, most importantly, our Lord. But pilgrimage is also a chance to come together as family. And so if you have the opportunity, even to take a local pilgrimage, you will be so amazed at what God will do in terms of forming relationships. And the other thing that is so neat is you're so blessed when you go into these various towns to meet a lot of you personally. I was so excited to meet Bill Button from Dallas, Texas, who's a convert to the faith and who actually came into the church through the help of Catholic Radio, specifically in his area, of course, Guadalupe Radio. And he's written me many emails about what Catholic Connection and EWTN has meant to him in his walk coming into the church. And I finally met him in person. He was so cute. He comes up to me and he says, "I'm Bill." And so we hugged and we chatted for a few minutes. He said, "I have a present." And he gave me a beautiful, beautiful card, a beautiful card with a personal note, and also saying that he's praying for me and my family because of the loss of my dad. But this beautiful card, and inside was a miniature cross from Assisi of the San Damiano cross. And then in the bag were three bags of Cheez-Its, my favorite snack. So it was just, and thank you, Bill, by the way. I ate one of them on the way to the restaurant where we met up with our gang from our Israel pilgrimage last year. But those little things, those little thoughtful things that happen when you connect with someone the way we do through, you know, as I said, a pilgrimage or Catholic Radio. So I don't know. I just feel very blessed, and I want to thank you, all the folks who showed up at the radio conference to support EWTN and the various radio apostolates, to support what Al and Mike and I are doing here, and with Doug Sherman and Doug Pearson and Jim Wright, and I don't know, so many incredible people in Catholic Radio. And, of course, the folks at EWTN, Tom Price, Frank Lurk, Doug Pearson, Doug Keck, John Pepe. And by the way, I spent some time with the Peppies, and Lynn is doing much better. We're going to have an update on her as well. John's about to email that out this morning. Many of you have been asking me how she's doing health-wise, and we'll share that with you. So much to talk about, so little time. It's already 8 minutes past the hour. Coming up on the program today, talk about a dynamo. Jen Giroux is going to be with us. She is with Human Life International. And this is something that is so near and dear to my heart, talking about the truth of what this contraceptive mentality that has been accepted by our culture, what it's doing to women. All this talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is very good. I'm glad they're talking about it. But unfortunately, the media don't focus on the truth about the connection between an increased risk of breast cancer with even one abortion and the huge, huge connection between birth control and breast cancer. So Jen Giroux knows all about it. She's an RN. She's been working in this area for many years. And she joins us at about 15 minutes past the hour. I may even break early and skip the news and just go right to Jen because I know she's going to have a lot to say. And then at the bottom of the hour, are you ready for this? I can't wait. Such a privilege to have George Weigel back with us. He has a new book out. It just hit the bookstores. Went on sale September 14th. And it's a sequel to Witness to Hope. The End and the Beginning, Pope John Paul II, The Victory of Freedom, The Last Years, The Legacy. Now, George Weigel was a big part of the documentary we saw on Friday afternoon, and we were privileged to have Newt Gingrich and Calista Gingrich there. They've produced this phenomenal documentary called 9 Days That Changed the World. It's out on DVD. If you haven't purchased it yet, do yourself a favor and do that. And George Weigel, of course, was featured prominently in this documentary because of his understanding and his background and his research that he's done in the life of John Paul II and the contributions he made to the church and to the world. So can't wait to talk to George Weigel this morning. And, of course, if you have a question for either of our guests, Jen Giroux or George Weigel, you can call us at 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. All right, it's just about 10 minutes past the hour. We'll skip the news on a Monday. I gave you some news about what's happening in and around the world. And we come back. We're going to talk about this being Breast Cancer Awareness Month and what the culture is not telling you. We're going to tell you right here in just about 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
Ciena, the Catholic mobile phone company, is more than just a cell phone service. Ciena is pro-life and pro-family. And contrary to other phone companies, we actively work for a culture of life in America. With Ciena, 5% of your voice plan goes to your favorite Catholic or pro-life charity. To date, over $1 million. Ciena uses the same nationwide digital network as the big guys without contracts or termination fees. Flexible calling plans allow you to support a pro-life company and the culture of life with every call you make on your mobile phone. There's a wide selection of phones and calling plans with text messaging available as well. Also, you pay no fees to change your plan, and you get unlimited mobile-to-mobile calling with other Ciena customers on most plans. With Ciena, you can use your voice for the voiceless. Don't waste your cell phone service. Learn more at 877-4-Ciena or on the web at prolifecatholic.com.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria University. Academic excellence in the Catholic tradition.
As an AMU recruiter serving the Midwest states, I meet some extraordinary families. Our students say they love Ave because it's cool to be Catholic, or that dialogue about the search for truth is not only respected but expected.
Whether you visit us on campus or visit us online, you'll see that there is nothing out there quite like Ave Maria University.
Our campus is beautiful, state-of-the-art new buildings, scenic landscaping, and lots of sunshine. And our students are full of light. We have a rigorous liberal arts curriculum, and students say our professors are in a league of their own.
We're located in Southwest Florida, just 20 miles east of Naples, or at www.avemaria.edu. Come check us out and see why so many students are continuing their faith journey at Ave Maria University. Accepted students qualify for a $200 travel voucher to visit. See the website for details.
I'm pretty sure if you had Jen Giroux and I in the same room together, we'd probably suck all the air out of it pretty quickly. Don't you think, Jen?
Oh, no question.
I was so excited that you were coming on the show this morning. I skipped the news because I just couldn't wait to have you on because you're such a dynamo and you're such a wealth of information for us. And I just love what you're doing with Human Life International and all of your previous pro-life work, which is phenomenal. And this is something that just drives me absolutely crazy. And you know this. We're all talking about breast cancer awareness, being this Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That's great. I'm glad it's out there. It needs to be discussed. It's a huge problem. But what we don't see in the culture, from the news media, from the documentaries, from the magazine articles, is this huge connection between birth control, in particular the birth control pill, and breast cancer, and also, of course, abortion and the increased risk of breast cancer. And this is where you come in, trying to raise awareness on this and focus on these issues that we're now seeing, as you point out in some of your quotes that were issued in the press release on this topic. We're seeing more breast cancer among younger women, which wasn't the case before, correct?
Oh, absolutely, Teresa. And, you know, I feel very blessed. I feel like God places things in your life that you need in order to do his will or follow the path he lays for you. So I've been able to bring my nursing background combined with what we're trying to expose and educate in the pro-life movement to this issue. And what used to be a post-menopausal woman's disease, breast cancer, has now reached back down to the age of 30. It's women in their 30s who are dealing with aggressive breast cancer. And it has been uncovered and confirmed within the medical community, not getting a lot of play, that if women are on the birth control pill for 4 years prior to their first full-term pregnancy, their breast cancer risk goes up by 50%. That is information that should be dispensed when the doctor is telling them that they should take the birth control pill. It's ignored.
Why is it ignored, do you think?
Well, it's politically incorrect. Mm-hmm. It's politically incorrect to talk about abortion or contraception being bad for women, when in fact the World Health Organization, secular mm-hmm. source here, has classified the birth control pill and hormonal contraceptives as a class A1 carcinogen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same classification as asbestos.
Yeah.
Why on earth are we allowing young girls as early as 12 to go on this? And believe me, there are numerous beyond, we really need good data on how many 12-year-olds they are starting on this, that are being placed on it in the name of acne or regulating their cycle, which of course is a myth in terms of the cycle because it only gives them breakthrough bleeding. And at that early, we want to trust our doctors. They're telling mothers to put their kids on it. It leads to earlier sexual activity, and if they're on it for 4 years prior to their first baby, and guarantee you 12-year-olds are, they are going to have that increased risk of breast cancer.
Now, you've linked up with the wonderful Angela LaFranchi from the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute, who's done a lot of research in this area. As a nurse, and I'm sure as a medical professional for her, and you as a nurse and she as an MD, must be extremely frustrating.
You know, Angela's such an intelligent and brave doctor. She is the, you know, the director of the Breast Cancer Center up there in New Jersey. And what she does is she simply takes the data that she's gathered and the information, and she just keeps putting it out there. And, you know, Teresa, when you stand on the side of truth, eventually it does pierce through. And she's, I'm sure, gotten some pushback or been ignored by medical professionals that don't want to address this at all. But when it comes to the pathophysiological development of breast tissue, there is no moral disposition. There is no faith in it. It is straight-out medical fact that breast tissue is affected by hormonal contraception. And, you know, just for the listeners, because I do have a medical background, I always, not to be redundant to anyone's knowledge, but hormonal contraception refers not just to the pill, but it refers to all the other type of contraception that's being pushed on women and young women, especially today, the rod, the implant, the IUD, the patch. All these things dispense the same toxic chemicals into the body of women as the birth control pill. So that's what's meant by hormonal contraceptives.
And we're seeing a lot of additional problems. For example, I just had Jeannie Monahan on from the Family Research Council last week talking about two new deaths have been reported from RU486.
Oh, there's no question that's being abused and misused. And it's amazing that that continues to be ignored because of the political incorrectness of, you know, that's going on with this. You know, there's so many negative side effects that you hear so little about in the media. One of the women that I work with, I went out to visit her mother who was in a stroke unit out in Minnesota, and she said she took a walk down the hallway and she saw so many young high school, college girls that were in this ward, not able to walk, wearing helmets because they didn't have their balance, some of them not able to get out of bed. And she said to the nurse, "What are all these young women doing here?" And the nurse very matter-of-factly said, "Oh, they've taken the birth control pill."
The nurse said that?
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in the world of HIPAA, Teresa, she wasn't supposed to say that. But the reality is it's a hugely ignored fact until it touches someone's family or until they lose a loved one. And a real interesting analogy that I believe is amazing in its timing is that the cigarette industry, 1928, had all of the facts of what the tobacco industry was going to do and the physical and damage and effects on the health of people. And that was kept under wraps and didn't catch up to the reality of it and the legal liabilities, lawsuits, for six decades. Isn't it amazing that we just have watched the national media herald the 50-year celebration of the birth control pill,
right. Mm-hmm.
And now we are into the sixth decade, and I believe there is no question, because of the undeniable medical facts, that this is the 10-year decade that the hormonal contraceptives and the birth control pill will follow in the same path in legal liabilities and exposure of what it's done to women's health as the cigarettes industry has.
What do you think it will take? Because I think the difference with cigarettes in terms of a media perspective is that you can do this without, you're talking about just general health. You're not talking about, quote unquote, this issue of sexuality, which everybody just seems to, when it comes to common sense and being able to connect the dots, they just throw everything out the window. We can see the effects. We can tell, you know, for Nancy Reagan had that quote, you know, during the Reagan administration, just say no, when she was talking about, you know, drug abuse, and that caught on. You know, the cigarettes caught on because it wasn't, you know, cool anymore to smoke and politically correct to smoke. But, and we can understand that. We can understand, you know, drinking and driving. We can understand not letting our kids, you know, do certain things. And yet, when it comes to this area of sexuality, common sense just seems to go out the window. So do we? How are we going to break through that? Because this seems to be the one area where everybody just throws all the rules out. The normal things that you do an analogy with that make sense. Like, for example, you would never let your kids go out in the street and play, you know, play in an open street or play in a freeway. But basically that's what you're allowing them to do, putting them at risk when you're just throwing them out there and saying use birth control, not only because of the dangers, but also because of sexually transmitted diseases and other issues that come with it. We seem to just throw everything out the window when it comes to this. How can we break through that mentality?
I think we have begun to break through, finally. I think that, again, when you continue to just put the truth out there, that it eventually does break through. And I think we have, you know, what needs to be talked about is just say no to your doctor. We want so desperately to trust our doctors on so many levels. And the majority of them, and at HLIAmerica, you know, .org, we offer a search engine to find a pro-life doctor on our website. Beyond that, beyond finding a pro-life doctor that understands the value of life and understands the damage that's being done to women, doctors are telling people to not have children and to go on hormonal contraception, and you need to be able to say no to your doctor. You know, in the general media and in the public, people like to fall back to the, oh, you know, you're just a Catholic, and that's a Catholic issue. It's birth control. You Catholics, you know, that's what, you know what's not Catholic, Teresa? Breast cancer in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Breast cancer doesn't care what religion you are. Strokes, blood clots, the moral decay that enters into a marriage when the selfishness of hormonal contraception takes over the fertility of a couple. Those are not discerning on what faith you are. Those are all things that are now seen fallout by testimony and by medical results that are finally breaking through. And allowing people to speak freely about the fact that abortion and contraception are bad for women. They're bad for families. You know, when enough women have to sit and look into the eyes of their 5- and 7-year-old and their teenagers and say, honey, I'm not going to be here when you get married, or honey, I'm not going to be here for your first communion, that's when the tide is turning. And we're already seeing it happen. It's tragic. It's sad. As a nurse, I cannot tell you how sad it was to see young, beautiful women coming in dealing with this breast cancer with young children. And college girls, we love targeting these and talking to these college girls, and I've been doing that with a couple other mothers. We go and we talk to them about the beauty of motherhood, the beauty of being open to having families, and also the medical facts involved in taking hormonal contraception. I had a niece at a Catholic college here in Ohio. She said every morning at 4 a.m. you'd hear all the cell phones go off in the dormitory, and it would flash BC, and they would all take their birth control pills there. You know, education
is at a Catholic college. Yeah.
Education is so critically important, not just on the medical damage being done to women, but on the spiritual damage so that they understand God's perfect plan for them in sexuality and in having children when they get married. That is what is going to break through this darkness.
Let me put out our phone number, Jen, in case anyone has a quick question, 877-573-7825. Jen Drew is the Executive Director of Human Life International, 877-573-7825. We're talking about, quote-unquote, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Now we need to break through, and especially now, this month, when there's a lot of talk about breast cancer, and really start up discussions at the water cooler, at the workplace, you know, in the grocery store line, about these additional causes of breast cancer, which aren't often discussed out there in the media. You know, the other thing that really drives me crazy is this connection between Susan G. Komen and Planned Parenthood. I mean, to me, it's diabolical. I mean, it's absolutely diabolical in the sense that on many levels, first and foremost, they're claiming that they're doing research to help women. And by turning around and giving money to the number one abortion provider, and also I would think that they're among the top in providing birth control, especially the pill and other forms of birth control, which we know now, as you just mentioned, that there's all kinds of documentation showing this connection between contraception, abortion, and breast cancer. And Planned Parenthood is the number one provider of this stuff. And here you have this research, this breast cancer research organization that is raising millions and millions of dollars and turning around and giving a large percentage of that to Planned Parenthood. To me, it's like they're keeping each other in business.
It's incredible, and you lifted that right out of my mind. I wanted to go right to that, and you did it first. There is, I like to say, there is a seamless pink ribbon between what they are doing to set in the name of raising money, Race for the Cure, and all these things, and then pouring millions of dollars back into Planned Parenthood, when in fact Planned Parenthood's own research arm, the Guttmacher Institute, reports that over 60% of women that show up for abortions show up there from failed contraception. So you got a class A1 carcinogen, the pill, being dispensed to minors by Planned Parenthood, knowing that they will come back and also further increase their risk
by having an
of
abortion.
Having breast cancer by having an abortion. And so, you know, what I have found, Teresa, is when we have the opportunity to witness to people about these facts, explaining to young women who are very selfish about their bodies, really we all are, we all want to be healthy, when you explain to them the damage being done to them, which leads to destructive behavior,
mm-hmm.
it really cracks the door open for them to see the spiritual damage. After they look at the physical, I find that it allows them to admit what they've given into, the destructive behavior, the fear they then have of the cancer risk.
Right.
And that leads them to be able to reveal their heart.
Including sexually transmitted diseases, which they open themselves up to with this whole thing. Well, let's go to the phones. We only have about 4 minutes left, and I want to give Maria from Philadelphia. She has a really good question, and she's calling in on line one. Hey, Maria. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thanks. I have a question. I have a college-age daughter who is on low estrogen, prescribed to her by her gynecologist to regulate her bad periods. She said it's type 1 diabetes and the periods are causing all kinds of complications. So this is what she was given. When she went to the gynecologist, she expressed that she was a conservative Catholic Christian and she was really concerned about the connection between the birth control and the breast cancer. And her gynecologist reassured her there was absolutely no connection that was a myth. And we sat there. We really had no idea what to say in response.
Okay, let me only have about 2 minutes. So let me go to Jen because I know you want to say, what do you say to professionals, medical professionals
honestly,
in particular?
Honestly, it is either that they are bold-faced lying, let me put it gently, bold-faced lying or on the verge of malpractice. By advising somebody that risk isn't there, that is malpractice. So that is what the medical community is going to be faced with.
And you need to get, the best thing to do, Maria, is to go to, for example, websites like Human Life International, the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute.
HLIAmerica.org.
You can go to abortionbreastcancer.com, which also has a lot of information. Karen Malik has a ton of information, not only the increased risk of breast cancer with abortion, but also with the pill. And you need to go to the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute, which is bcpinstitute.org, afterabortion.org. All these different websites, and if you can't remember this, you can email me, and I'll give you a list of them. But you need to have this documentation there from these groups, and then you can quote these secular studies that Jen mentioned and say, what are you talking about? And are you willing to put yourself out there for the liability of what you're doing to my daughter and other young women? This is where we have to have the courage to do it lovingly, but say, look, you may not know, which I highly doubt, because I think a lot of these doctors have just been brainwashed and forced into, for whatever reason, they think they have to do the politically correct thing. But we have to have the courage when we see these medical professionals, you know, and talk to them about this stuff and say, okay, you look at the research and tell me, well, what do I have wrong here?
There are great doctors out there to understand the harms, and you can find them by searching on our website. But let me tell you what's important, too, for mothers to understand. Cramps are very difficult, and so are periods. We are not saying that doesn't occur. But to teach your daughter they have to have a pill for everything in their life is, number one, very bad. And number two, there are other ways of getting through the first couple very difficult days
and there are
without putting them on the pill.
Can help you with the pain. Jen, we got to go. Give us the website again.
HLIAmerica.org or 4ormore.org if you want to look at our Facebook for big families.
All right, and we'll continue to talk about this topic and other life issues on Catholic Connection. Up next, George Weigel and his new book. It's a follow-up to Witness to Hope. Stay tuned.
This is Professor Steve Weidenkopf with another moment in church history. On a cold winter evening in the 8th century, St. Boniface approached the German village of Geismar. The villagers were gathered around a large oak tree, ready to kill one of their children in worship of the god Thor. The barbarians had previously boasted that the Christian god of St. Boniface was no match for the thunder god Thor. But trusting in the Lord, St. Boniface took an axe and with one miraculous swing chopped down the mighty thunder oak tree. Behind it stood a little fir tree which St. Boniface used to teach the villagers about the Christ child, instructing them to embrace this tree as a symbol of their new faith in the one true God. Thus began the tradition of the Christmas tree. I hope you enjoyed this moment in church history. You can learn more about St. Boniface and the history of the Catholic Church in a new study series called EPIC, A Journey Through Church History, published by Ascension Press. More information can be found on the EPIC website at OurCatholicHistory.com. May God bless you.
Rachel's Vineyard Weekend Retreats are a beautiful opportunity for any person who has struggled with the emotional or spiritual pain of an abortion. Designed for women and men, the retreat process is an opportunity to surface and release feelings of anger, shame, guilt, and grief. The next retreat in the Grand Rapids area is October 22nd through the 24th. If you live in the state of Michigan, call 800-800-8284 to register or learn more. That's 800-800-8284 if you're calling from Michigan. Rachel's Vineyard Retreats is a specific process to help you experience the mercy and compassion of God and grieve the loss of your unborn child or children. All inquiries are strictly confidential. That's 800-800-8284 or 40daysforlife.com. A Rachel's Vineyard Retreat will help your soul find voice and transform the pain of the past into love and hope.
It is a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection Coast to Coast. You're listening to EWTN, the Global Catholic Radio. That beautiful song, of course, based on the words, first and foremost, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Gospels, about be not afraid, but also the incredible words that we heard so many times from our late great Holy Father, John Paul II, from the very beginning of his pontificate on, and to his brothers and sisters in Poland, and especially to the young people at the many, many gatherings he had with the young people over his pontificate. So excited to have George Weigel on with us this morning. Normally, Meg Meeker, of course, joins us on Monday, but we gave her the morning off because we had the opportunity to grab George for an interview. And when you get that opportunity, you got to take it, because he's a very busy man, of course, well known for his amazing writing and his speaking and his contributions to helping us learn so much about the faith, but also about John Paul II. And his latest book, which went on sale through Doubleday on September 14th, is now available, so go out and grab your copy. The End and the Beginning, Pope John Paul II, The Victory of Freedom, The Last Years, The Legacy. Of course, by our guest, George Weigel. It's a follow-up to, of course, Witness to Hope. George, how are you? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. Nice to be with you again.
Well, first of all, I was mentioning to you during the break, I just wanted to say thank you for the contributions that you made through your book, Witness of Hope, to the documentary on John Paul II and the 9 days that changed the world, which was produced, of course, by Newt and Calista Gingrich. They were at the radio conference on Friday and gave a beautiful talk and then showed the documentary, which was, I thought it was extremely well done and very moving.
It's very well done, and it's a nice segue into this new book, The End and the Beginning, because the whole first third of the book reexamines that drama of John Paul II's life, his war with communism, through the prism of some really quite astonishing Soviet bloc secret police files that I was given by Polish historians several years ago. So we can now look at this story in full, including the really nasty, indeed vicious, attempts by communist authorities, communist secret police agencies, communist intelligence services to impede the work of John Paul II, to destroy his reputation. It's high drama, and it's a story that unfortunately I think a lot of people are forgetting right now.
Now, the book is interesting, your latest book, because you're looking at a number of different things. I mean, obviously, it's probably inexhaustible, the material you have to work with John Paul II, given what he gave us in so many of his documents, encyclicals, and teachings. But what I think is interesting about this book, and what I understand, is it's an opportunity also to look at some of these issues that we're facing currently, including some accountability in church leadership and also the sexual abuse scandal. How do you approach those in the book? And also Muslim relations is another big topic.
Well, perhaps I could just say a word for your listeners about the structure of the book.
Sure.
The first third, as I said, uses these formerly highly classified and top-secret materials to look at the triumph of John Paul II and the church in the contest with communism from the other side of the hill, so to speak. The second part of the book, which is where I had intended to start before I got all of this remarkable communist archival stuff, tells the story of the last 6 years of John Paul II's life, which, of course, is not covered in Witness to Hope, which ends in early 1999. And there we look at such dramatic moments as the Great Jubilee of 2000, the Pope's pilgrimage to the Holy Land, the canonization of St. Faustina, and then immediately we're into 9/11. Then the long Lent of 2002, scandal here in the United States, then the war in Iraq, and then the Pope's own last way of the cross. So that's a very dramatic 6 year period. Full of richness, full of human drama, full of remarkable teaching. I mean, he remained the teacher of the church until the very end, not least by the manner in which he conducted himself during his last suffering and death. And then the last third of the book is an attempt to get a hold of the whole man, both as a person, as a human being, located at a particular moment in history, and as a pope whose influence will resonate for centuries. So it's three parts. And I think it completes, rounds out, and amplifies the story in Witness to Hope.
How challenging is it to tackle someone like John Paul II? As I said earlier, it's got to be inexhaustible when you think about everything he gave to us, especially in the theology of the body, which I think we'll be unpacking, you know, for decades and centuries probably. But as a writer, there must be so much that you want to say, and you just can't say in one or two or three or four or five or six books. I mean, it's got to be inexhaustible. Did you find that as a challenge, or is it something that encourages you the more research you do on him?
It was less of a challenge, frankly, with the end and the beginning, Teresa, than with Witness to Hope, because Witness to Hope covers the first seven decades of his life, during which there was an enormous amount of intellectual activity, writing, documents, etc., all of which need to be discussed in some fashion. So Witness to Hope provided a little kind of Cliff's Notes on encyclicals and apostolic letters and synod exhortations and so forth and so on. There was less of that, of course, in the last 6 years. There was the encyclical on the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
There was the apostolic letter reforming the rosary. There was a remarkable apostolic letter on the future of Europe. Actually, that was a post-synodal exhortation on the future of Europe, which I go into at some length because I think it's the last major social doctrine statement of John Paul II on the challenges facing free societies in the 21st century. So it was a little less challenging this time, but as you say, the richness of his teaching is only beginning to be unpacked.
Mm-hmm.
The theology of the body, I think, has already had a remarkable influence on campuses, in marriage preparation programs, etc. But there is, for example, the 1991 encyclical, Redemptoris Missio, which in a sense sets up, is part of the setup to the Great Jubilee of 2000, in which the Pope says to all of us, the Church does not have a mission as one function among a dozen other functions. The Church is a mission. The Church exists primarily to invite the world to meet the Lord. And everything else that is the Church has to revolve around that. And that's something that we're still beginning, just beginning to grapple with, I think.
Were you at all surprised, maybe not, but were you at all surprised by the people, not just the amounts, but the people from the different walks of life? Because I know they visited this in the documentary that showed up for JP2's funeral. Did that surprise you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think I was there for that, working with NBC. I think I was struck by the sheer magnitude of it. The population of the city of Rome doubled in a week, mm-hmm. from 3 million to 6 million. What is really touching is that this continues. I tell a story in the end and the beginning of a visit I made to the office of the postulator for John Paul II's beatification cause, who showed me in their mailroom dozens, hundreds of letters simply addressed in one variant or another, Pope John Paul II, heaven.
Mm. Mm.
And somehow they find their way to Rome and to the Vicariate of Rome and to the office for the postulation. And these are from people all over the world, many of them not Christians. So the sense that this was a God-touched life in a unique way continues to reverberate around the world now 5.5 years after his death.
I remember George and I was a reporter for the ABC affiliate in Detroit, and I had the opportunity to cover him, well, twice, once when he was here in Detroit, and then also when he was in New York for the 1995 visit. And we weren't even supposed to get in to cover the Mass because we applied for the press credentials late, and we didn't get in for the credentials at the Mass in Central Park. But somehow I managed to get in with my photographer and his big camera and everything. We just walked right past security, and they didn't stop us. And so we got up right to the fence where, you know, the Popemobile was coming by. And I remember being very close to him and seeing him. And the minute he came by, I just burst into tears, and I attributed that. I was already back in the Catholic Church at that point, but not to where I am now in my faith journey. I just attributed that, the same sense I had when I was watching the documentary last week, of this powerful, powerful presence of the Holy Spirit in that man.
Well, he was a man who spent his entire adult life making himself transparent to the will of God for his own life, which was an invitation to other people to follow the more excellent way that St. Paul speaks about to the Corinthians. And for all of that, he was perfectly engaging, quite remarkable human being, whose sanctity, in a sense, was the fulfillment of his humanity, which was exactly the way it ought to be. To become a saint is not simply our Christian destiny, it's our human destiny. Because if Christianity is the truth of the world, as we believe it is, then every human being's ultimate destiny is to be a saint, someone who can live comfortably with God forever, as C.S. Lewis memorably put it. And he embodied that, I think, in a unique way for the second half of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st.
Let me ask you one more question before we take a quick break, and I want to remind our folks, I'm sure you recognize the voice of George Weigel. His new book actually was on the bookstore shelves on September 14th. It's published by Doubleday. The End and the Beginning, Pope John Paul II, The Victory of Freedom, The Last Years of the Legacy. Our phone number, 877-573-7825. We have it available at our online bookstore at AveMariaRadio.net. When you were writing Witness to Hope and this book, did you have an audience in mind, or were you just hoping that as many people as possible get their hands on it to understand the gift that he was? No, I'm serious. Because
the audience is the world.
Yeah.
I mean, quite literally, this whole project from 1995 till now was intended to provide everybody who is interested in this man with an authoritative, comprehensive look at his life. Witness to Hope is now available in 14 languages. The Chinese edition will be available sometime in the next 6 months or so. And I hope that The End and the Beginning has a similar number of foreign editions, because this is a story that belongs to the whole world.
Amen.
He belongs to the whole world.
George, hang on one second. I've got some folks calling in. And again, talking with George Weigel about his latest book, The End and the Beginning. It's available at the AveMariaRadio.net online bookstore, as well as a number of other resources. Again, if you have a question, we have Mark from Indianapolis, who has a really good question about the work that the Holy Father and Ronald Reagan, the impact they had to end the Cold War. We'll talk with Mark in a second. 877-573-7825. Just about 45 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning of Catholic Connection. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back with George Weigel.
Are you worried about your investments and the moral practices of companies in which you've invested? I'm George Schwartz, the founder of Schwartz Investment Counsel, a registered investment advisor established in 1980. If you're a pro-life investor and are concerned about your investments, the Ave Maria division of Schwartz Investment Counsel may be able to help you. Our firm has experienced professional analysts and portfolio managers who thoroughly research companies from an investment point of view and from a moral perspective. We are nationally known as a leader in the growing field of morally responsible investing. To learn more, give us a call, toll-free, 866-AVE-MARIA, or visit schwartzinvest.com. In my new book, Good Returns, I explain morally responsible investing and our successful approach to finding profitable investments. My friend, Hall of Fame coach Lou Holtz, has written a terrific foreword for my book. I think you'll really enjoy reading it.
Call 1-866-AVE-MARIA to learn more. That's 1-866-283-6274 or visit schwartzinvest.com.
You climbed the 3 steps to Collège Notre-Dame countless times when you worked there as a porter. The 10 steps to your office hundreds of times to receive pilgrims. The 283 steps of St. Joseph's Oratory, which you founded thousands of times. And now, Brother Andre, you have climbed to the highest step of all. You will always be a friend, a brother, a saint.
Come and celebrate the canonization of Brother Andre at St. Joseph's Oratory in Montreal, Quebec. Details online.
Amish Tables invites you to visit our showroom. We showcase some of the furniture at 4844 Jackson Road in Ann Arbor. We've been shipping Amish-made solid wood furniture across the USA since 1995. 2,000 products, 5 wood types, and 22 stains. We're sure to have just what you need. Come celebrate with us as we were voted Best of Ann Arbor Furniture for Every Room by the U.S. Chamber. AmishTables.com. Heirloom quality furniture.
What a blessing to have George Weigel with us for 30 minutes this morning. We know how busy he is and so appreciate his dedication to telling the world about the faith and especially about the work and the amazing contributions of John Paul II. We're talking about George's most recent book, The End and the Beginning, Pope John Paul II, The Victory of Freedom, The Last Years, A Legacy. It went on sale through Doubleday in the middle of September. It is available now. Again, we do have it at the Ave Maria Radio online bookstore at AveMariaRadio.net, and you can also get it through BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon. Let's go to the phone. So Mark has a really good question. Mark is calling from Independence, Missouri this morning on line one. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Teresa. It's an honor to speak with you, George, and thanks for all your courageous books and columns and speaking on TV and everything. I find it amazing that President Obama, Carter, Vice President Gore, and Yasser Arafat have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize, but the two men most responsible for ending the Cold War, Pope John Paul II and Ronald Reagan, have not. Could you speak a little bit about how they worked together to bring down communism and maybe the similarities and maybe even differences of their worldview and goal?
Well, let's be clear on why John Paul II didn't get it, and that is because a Norwegian Lutheran bishop blocked this for years on the grounds, the really quite crazy grounds, that the church's teaching on the proper means of family planning had created poverty in the third world. I mean, this is all political correct madness to the nth degree. John Paul II and Reagan. I discussed this a bit more in depth in The End of the Beginning. Strikingly parallel lives, both self-made men, orphaned early, the Pope literally, Reagan was a father who had all sorts of problems and essentially was not present to his life. Both men of the theater, both men of the spoken word, both men whom no one expected to get to the top of their respective professions, both men who were dismissed as conservatives, which in this case was a polite placeholder for reactionaries, but who were in fact radicals. The Pope, a radical Christian disciple, Reagan, a man who did not believe that you had to leave the world as you found it, that you could in fact change the world through the power of truth applied to sensible public policy. Reagan fell in love with Poland, apparently, in the late 1970s, even before he became president. And when these two men then had another parallel experience, namely both surviving an assassination attempt in the first half of 1981, I think even they began to realize that there was some remarkable synchronicity in their lives. There was no great conspiracy. There was no Vatican-U.S. plot to bring down the Soviet Empire. But there was a parallelism of analysis. This emperor had far fewer clothes than people had thought. There was a willingness to break out of the conventional wisdom, whether that was U.S. diplomatic wisdom or Vatican diplomatic wisdom. And indeed, one of the more interesting parts I find in the end and the beginning is John Paul II's wrestling with his own bureaucracy in terms of dealing with the communist world. And there was this remarkable parallel conviction that if you just spoke the truth clearly enough, whether it was be not afraid, as Teresa said at the beginning of our conversation, or Mr. Gorbachev, bring down this wall, it would have an effect. And that proved to be true. I mean, that's not the only thing that accounts for this remarkable transformation. There were other factors. There were other large figures involved. But it accounts for a lot of it, and accounts, I think, for the distinctiveness of it, that this was a very new kind of political movement that John Paul II inspired in Poland and elsewhere, and that Reagan was smart enough to see had genuine power, that this was not solidarity and related enterprises elsewhere were not just flotsam and jetsam on the floating on the surface of history, but they were driving the currents of history in a different and better direction.
George, what I thought was so beautifully illustrated, and not only in your book and also your writings, but also in the documentary, and you and I were talking about this during the break, you mentioned the what actually happened in Poland, and specifically talking about some of the video, or I should say film, because back in the 70s it's probably what it was in terms of the news footage, and how they were able to clean that up. And what I noticed in the different B-roll shots, as we say, is talking about what you just mentioned, touching upon this human spirit that John Paul II and Reagan were able to do, that the deep down, these people, you could see on the looks of their faces, the way they were listening, the tears, just the intensity of hearing those words from John Paul II when he came to Poland in those 9 days that changed the world. And that is just such a very, very powerful thing, and I think we forget that in our culture. We feel so overwhelmed and beaten up. You know, the Catholic Church is just, you know, that everybody's, you know, whipping post or whipping boy. And we get so afraid of speaking up. And you can see what, when you understand what they were trying to say about truth and the human spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can see the change that occurs and peacefully without, you know, without fighting or violence or you know, shedding any blood.
Well, I think it's important, Teresa, to remember that this is the power of the spoken word married to the truth. I mean, there were a lot of great rabble-rousers in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them did a lot of damage. Some of them, like Winston Churchill, Ronald Reagan, John Paul II, did immense good, and did so because what they said was tethered to the truth. John Paul II was once asked by someone, I can't remember who, what's the most important word in the Bible? And he said, truth. The truth will make you free. So it's not simply, you weren't suggesting this, of course, it's not simply brilliant rhetoric. It's brilliant rhetoric tethered to the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free.
I know. So what's next for George Weigel? Another book about John Paul II? Inquiring minds want to know. Or are you just going to take a nap because you probably need one?
George Weigel is attempting to survive a three-month book tour at the moment, in which he's encouraging everyone to do their Christmas shopping early by getting the end and the beginning. I am hoping to do next Lent a book on the Station Churches of Rome, the Lenten Station Churches of Rome. There's a special church appointed for each day of Lent in Rome. This is a tradition that...
Do you need a research assistant, or you've done the research already? Because I'll go back to Rome. I don't need an excuse.
This is a tradition that goes back to Pope Gregory the Great, and I hope to invite people to meet Rome and to meet Lent in a new way through this book.
Wow. So where are you next in terms of your book tour? Were you speaking? Were you signing
books? I am going to be in Roanoke, Virginia on October 26th at Roanoke College. I'm going to be in Manchester, New Hampshire, or somewhere near Manchester, New Hampshire, maybe Nassau or Nashua, on October 28th, and then I'm out on the West Coast speaking to Legatus groups in Phoenix and Las Vegas and Palm Springs and whatnot in early November, and on it goes.
Mm. Now, is your schedule on your website?
No.
No? Do you have a website you'd like to promote?
No. The Ethics and Public Policy Center website, www.eppc.org, has got lots of interesting stuff on it. Doesn't have my schedule.
Okay.
But it has all of my occasional writings, columns, articles, essays, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, I may have missed it, but did you mention when the book on the churches in Rome, the Lent of Churches in Rome, will be out? Do you have a publishing date?
Well, it wouldn't be out till the Lent of 2012.
Okay, so you still need a research assistant to go with you. I'm volunteering, just to let you know. I'll carry your luggage.
You'd miss the Tigers season.
I'll survive.
Okay, very good.
Thank you so much for spending so much time with us this morning. God bless you for your work. And, again, thanks for your contributions to the documentary, which was phenomenal. I hope that, in addition to getting your book as a Christmas present, it'd be another double blessing to have your book, The End and the Beginning, and also 9 Days That Changed the World. That would be a nice little Christmas combo, don't you think?
I do, not least because, as I say, the book really does deepen the analysis that I made in Witness to Hope, and that was part of the framework of 9 Days That Changed the World.
Mm. Well, thank you for really unpacking John Paul II for us in both books. I mean, really, just inexhaustible, and what a challenge, I'm sure, and what a responsibility you must have felt and probably still feel about this work.
It was a great adventure, and I'm very grateful for being given the opportunity to go through it.
All right, George, thanks so much for everything, especially for the time this morning. George Weigel on his latest book, The End and the Beginning, Pope John Paul II, The Victory of Freedom, The Last Years, The Legacy. Talk to you tomorrow on Catholic Connection. Have a blessed day.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Imagine getting a crown in just one visit. At Hamm Family Dentistry, you can. Porcelain crowns are made in the office, eliminating the need for goopy impressions and wearing a temporary tooth for weeks. This service is at no additional cost, and the crowns are translucent, just like your natural teeth. People will only notice your great smile. Save time and reduce discomfort at Hamm Family Dentistry in Livonia.
This is Dr. Rebecca Hamm. Call us at 734-421-0121.
Mention this ad for $100 off a new crown.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Many states have begun early voting for this year's elections. As our bishops have said, every voice matters in the public forum, every vote counts. We need to use our vote to advance the culture of life. Sometimes candidates for local office say their positions on big moral issues like abortion don't matter. But they do, because they measure a person's character. Besides, those in local office tend to move up to higher office. And if a politician can't respect the life of a little baby, how's he supposed to respect yours? Don't miss out on voting. Learn who is running and where they stand on life issues. And call your friends and those in your church groups and remind them to vote as well. This is Father Frank Pavone.